W228 EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Chris Christie has officially dropped his Republican bid for president.
I would rather lose by telling the truth than lie in order to win. And I feel no differently today, because this is a fight for the soul of our party and the soul of our country.
Just minutes before that town hall in New Hampshire, Christie got caught on a hot mic saying his opponent, Nikki Haley, would get smoked in the race. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called him petrified. Both are set to hit the debate stage tonight in Iowa. The search for missing skiers is over in Lake Tahoe, where an avalanche killed one person today and injured another. This woman says she was minutes away from getting buried, too.
I'm lucky that the bus was late because I would have been in that avalanche. So I saw it when I was going up the chair, and then as I came around, anybody that was off the chair, we just all got asked help and start probing and start trying to just find people.
In the Northeast, high floodwaters are starting to recede, but the damage may be done. Frank Staffa says his store was soaked today in Lodi.
This is bad, but I never seen it this high.
CBS's Dave Malkoff also checked out tornado damage in North Florida.
It ripped apart a marina that had a lot of fancy boats in there, the same marina that was destroyed 5 years ago by Hurricane Michael. And now here we are after they rebuilt and reopened, and we've got a tornado, and they're back to square one.
President Biden met with Paul Whelan's sister today at the White House, the meeting coming 5 years after the former U.S. Marine was detained in Russia on spying charges. She begged the president to do more to get him home. Meantime, a House committee hearing on whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress turned ugly.
Hunter Biden, who unexpectedly showed up for the hearing, was chastised by Republican Nancy Mace.
You are the epitome of white privilege.
Democrat Jasmine Crockett took exception to that comment.
Let me tell you why nobody wants to talk to y'all behind closed doors, because y'all lie.
And as Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene began to speak, Hunter Biden unexpectedly walked out.
Hunter, apparently you're afraid of
my Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
After 17 seasons as head coach of the Crimson Tide, Nick Saban is retiring. ESPN reporting the 72-year-old built a college football empire, winning 7 national championships, including 6 at Alabama, and 12 conference titles. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer in response to human trafficking is introducing 11 bills to increase awareness, impose tougher punishments, and make it easier for victims to sue traffickers in Wisconsin. It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. Governor Evers says increasing shared state revenue with local governments was his proudest accomplishment from last year. For example, he says smaller communities can now offer more responsive emergency services.
If the crew's out on an issue, that's it. If somebody needed help after that, they're screwed.
Evers speaking with Up North News on Civic Media. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
College basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles hope to get a win tonight as they host Butler. Marquette has dropped to 11 in the AP Top 25 after losing 2 of their last 4 games. A big upset last night in the Big Ten. Nebraska at home beat number 1 ranked Purdue 88-72. That's the first time the Cornhuskers have beat a number 1 ranked team since 1982. Badgers on the road tonight. They take on Ohio State. NFL, the Packers and the Cowboys Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Matt LaFleur with praise for Jordan Love, leading his team to the postseason, his first year at quarterback.
You know, his family did a hell of a job raising him in terms of just what he's all about.
great things are in store for him.
The New York Jets had a losing season after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon. He had this to say after meeting with his coaches.
Some things in every organization, and we did this for 18 years in Green Bay, the exit meetings are important to just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward, and then refine your focus moving forward.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a cloudy sky overnight, and lows in the low 20s. Temps steady in the 20s for tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. Currently it's 26.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, we're gonna have a good day.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
Hello, you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. Happy New Year, everyone. Although I think Mother Nature is really procrastinating this year, because if you ask me, it's starting to look a lot like Christmas. But on that note, I did not do a show last week. Instead, I used that time for planning on where I want to go with the Empowered Caregiver in 2024. And somewhere in my big picture thinking and planning, I got a little lost in the woods. It happens. So I had to go back to square one, which is my why. Why did I want to do a radio show to support family caregivers? Well, according to the AARP, 580,000 caregivers in Wisconsin provide an estimated $9.2 billion of unpaid labor each year in our state. However, there's close to 5.9 million Wisconsinites, and nationwide, it's reported that 20% of all Americans are caregivers. So I don't do math, but if you'd use that math, if 20% of that, I would argue that there's well over a million people who are caregivers in Wisconsin. And I think there's such a discrepancy in those numbers because so many people do not see themselves as caregivers. And I have to admit, raising a son with autism, I never referred to myself as a caregiver. It's somewhat of a newer term to me as well. But caregiving can impact one's physical, mental, emotional, and financial health. Yet most people don't even acknowledge or know that they fall under this caregiver umbrella. So I guess that kind of has to beg the question, well, what is a caregiver then? And a caregiver is defined as a paid or unpaid person who helps an individual with activities of daily living. Now, I would take that a step further and say when you are a caregiver, somebody depends on you for some aspect of their well-being. You most definitely could say that raising children falls under the caregiving umbrella. However, the difference is parenting ideally, right? Your child becomes more independent and relies on you less. And as time goes on, they can spread their wings and fly. However, with caregiving, unless you're dealing with an acute illness or injury, caregiving is a responsibility that most likely will continue indefinitely. And with that, your responsibilities most likely will increase over time. Some people provide around-the-clock care for their loved one, and my heart absolutely goes out to those people. I feel like as a society, we need to do more to support them because they provide a huge value to the tune of $9 million more per year. Huge value to our communities, and we would be in big trouble without them. But many of us have less demanding caregiving roles, but it's still caregiving. We have people who depend on us. They need us. And it impacts our lives. It impacts our finances. It impacts where we live, what we do, what we don't do, are all kind of centered around that person's needs. And over time, it can have an impact. And this is where I get a little squeamish, because I worry that I paint the picture that caregiving is this hard, terrible thing that people shouldn't have to do, when in fact, we're hardwired. Our brains are hardwired to care for each other. And although it can have its challenging moments, caregiving can be very rewarding and gives many people a deep sense of meaning, love, and purpose. But to go back to the why I wanted to do this show is that I feel that people typically get into this caregiving role by no choice of their own. There's no manual on caregiving best practices. And if you don't know what the negative implications can be, then you don't know how to take preventative action. So really, I strive to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers. So that's my why. People are living longer. People are living with profound disabilities, and they're being integrated into our communities, which is awesome that they're not being put into institutions. Drug and mental health issues are plaguing our nation, and all of these people need care. And so I feel strongly that we need to support and educate and advocate and celebrate the people that are giving or willing to give tirelessly the care for the people that need it. So on that note, I will get off my soapbox, and I would love input from listeners on what topics you would like to learn about this year. I have my own agenda, which includes focusing on mental health and well-being of caregivers. I also consider myself a strong advocate, so I want to keep my finger on the pulse of legislation that supports caregivers, because we all know that to get legislation passed, it takes advocacy. With every brilliant idea out there that supports caregivers, there's going to be a group of lobbyists or somebody pushing against it to serve their own agenda. So we need caregivers to write and to call their representatives and to remind them that they are there to serve their constituents. They are there to serve you, not corporations. They're not to be at the mercy or be a tool to their political party. So that's my little political rant. Those are the two big areas where I see a real need, but I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can email me at Liza, L-I-Z-A, at civicmedia.us, or you can give me a call tonight at 844-967-2789. So on that note, I will quit giving my little rant and passion rage about caregiving and welcome a guest to the show tonight. I would like to welcome Gray from Civic Media. Hey, Gray, thanks for hanging in there with me.
Hi there, Liza. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in tonight and being willing to share your story. You shared a little bit about it to me earlier via email, but can you let listeners know a little bit more about your caregiving journey?
Absolutely. It's the kind of thing where the Cliff's Notes is a rather thick edition in its own right, so forgive me. But that said, effectively, a very close family member of mine, extremely close, about as close as it gets. And I'm fully aware that people will likely infer who I'm talking about here. But that said, went through a mental health crisis in roughly 2010, maybe 2009. And our family dealt with it at the time. And that family member wound up placed in a group home facility. And the reason for that placement, at the urging and at the directive of the county in which she was located at the time, was due to a combination of mental health and drug crisis. It was incredibly unclear at the time and remains so now whether A caused B, B caused A, whether they just happened to happen at the same time because life is fun, or what exactly the real cause or driver or result was. But the fact was, nobody dedicated to mental health nor dedicated to drug rehabilitation was interested in taking the situation on. We luckily, after a three-year battle, were able to get the county to commit, no pun intended. I don't have a pun in me about this, so forgive me in that regard. But she was committed at the time, and we found a group home facility. And lo and behold, after about 2 or 3 years in that facility, there was a drastic and rather thorough recovery happened in front of our eyes. We didn't know whether it would ever happen, and it seemed to be. So 2013, 2014, she begins living on her own again and has been doing so effectively until roughly November of last year, at which time the same symptoms began to appear. And my 13-year-old self, I was able to avoid a lot of the fallout last time. But now I'm pushing 30, and I became the primary caregiver through, Lemony Snicket would understand, the person who was supposed to be her caregiver wound up with the flu the night that that occurred, and she wound up at my place. And that 2 nights while we found placement became 3 weeks while we begged for placement. Everybody who would listen. And then finally, a bit of a breaking point at 3 weeks in which we sort of threw our hands up and we're actually going to effectively have to tap it, throw the towel in for a couple of days. Our plan was to return her to her private living situation in the hopes that we could get something done by doing that. And long story short, I was the one who drove her down to that apartment where she was living. And in the course of dropping her off, it became unequivocally clear to me that it was not viable to leave her on her own for any period of time. And so I began emergency calling from her parking lot. And finally, somebody came out who could tell me, go to a hospital, do this thing that will get something done. And just the tone in that social worker's voice, I could tell it was the magic words that I've been waiting for. And actually, just today, finally, the final hearing was held and she has been recommitted. So today is the first day since the end of November that I know for certain that this family member of mine who I love drastically is in the care of people who are committed to that care. And it's basically people who will care for her in front of her and lock doors behind her. And it's horrifying to me that that's what good news is now, but that's the best news I've gotten in months. And I'm trying to make my peace with that.
Yeah.
That's where I find myself today. I mean, it's 4 hours ago that I got this news, 3 hours ago. So I'm still, forgive me, I am still processing a little bit of the tail end of it, but it's pretty raw.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I'm still processing all of it, all of what you said. Wow. First of all, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Thank you.
It's a lot. And it's a lot to have something thrown in your lap like that. And I would imagine to see someone you love struggle in pain. And I want to hear more of your story when we come back, because I believe what you have to say can help other people in their caregiving journey, if only to know that they're not alone.
The Tap.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Eliza Hellenbrand. And I started off today's show talking about my why I want to do a radio show about caregiving. And there are hundreds and thousands of Wisconsinites that have committed in some way, shape, or form to care to the needs of their loved ones. And while, yes, I know that's what family is, there are still many challenges to caregiving. So I want to be able to give caregivers the support and resources they need. And today I am talking with Gray from our Park Falls location, Civic Media location up there where he works, about his caregiving story. So just to recap, he has a loved one that has struggled with mental illness his whole life and was committed and made a recovery in the past, and just back last November kind of slipped and needed help again. So Gray has been, I can only imagine how Gray has been these past few months trying to figure out how to get his loved one the help and support that they need. So thank you, Gray. So Gray, for so much for telling your story, or being willing to tell your story. It seems like really difficult time, obviously. What are some of the biggest struggles?
At the moment, it's actually pretty peaceful. Right now, one of my biggest struggles is coming to terms with what the phrase good news refers to now. I never would have thought that, hey, one of your dearest family members and friends in this world is now committed for the next 6 months at the hospital's discretion. That's the best news I've received in 3 or 4 months. And that fact is just playing on my mind. One of the struggles that stood out to me when you sent the call out, to see if there was anybody to talk to, I realized that my experience might be a bit unique, specifically because her level of need wasn't enough to the people who make the decisions. And it was this sweet spot where I know for a fact that I don't want to put a time estimate on it. I have been willing to in the recent past, but I shouldn't. It's a bit morbid, but she wouldn't have done well on her own for any length of time. And proving that to a doctor or a court in a way that actually gets anything done is phenomenally difficult if that person doesn't have a weapon in their hand or is threatening harm to themselves or another human. And there are so many people in need, drastic need, who are not doing those things, and the systems aren't necessarily set up to catch them. And I understand why. Everybody I talked to was trying. There was no lack of effort. It was a lack of ability. And that's not to speak ill of anybody involved. I've spoken to some of the most caring humans I've encountered over the last 4 months, and they had to basically treat me like a ping pong ball and knock me between them, because this family member was from Chippewa County. I'm from Price County, so she was located in Price County, but her residence is down there. So call that social worker and call that behavioral health liaison, and we can't, and they can, and no, we can't. And finally, I spoke to somebody who said, give me the phone numbers of the people you've been speaking to so that I can do it for you. And I just about fell asleep. The relief that I felt when somebody said that to me was incredible. And
fall asleep,
you mentioned terms.
I want to go back to that one.
Just
the ability of your body to, I was going to say, just your body to relax. Yeah.
Yeah. It was phenomenal. I wouldn't have fainted, but yes, I darn near fell asleep right there. You spoke a bit ago about new terms that you've encountered. And for me, it was caretaker fatigue. Right. I did not experience that term by reading or by living in any sense until I lived it. I didn't know that term until I knew it too well. And when I experienced that term, it was another moment of mini catharsis. Like, yes, the fact that that term exists means that I'm not the only person going through this. And that means there is an underserved community. It's not just this person, which means, well, my personal experience was nothing short of mind bending on several levels. It's relatable to somebody. And I still, that's another thing that I'm trying to come to terms with. I haven't bumped into anybody who can compare notes and relate in that way, but I know they're out there, and that's at least encouraging. There may not be a blueprint, but there is a path.
There are people and out there.
Realizing that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There is I believe president, but I don't want to misspeak his name, but a person of NAMI, the National Mental Health. I can't think of what it stands for offhand, but anyways, he is taking care of a loved one in a similar situation with schizophrenia. So yeah, there probably are a lot more people than we think that are going through this. And, you know, what amazing advocacy on your part to make all of these calls, to know how to call, to be persistent, to advocate for your needs. You know, think about people that don't have the capabilities that you have. Where would they be?
It certainly did feel like I knew what I was doing at any point in time. I was struggling to find phone numbers. Half the time I would call somebody, I was begging them for another phone number to call because I was immediately greeted with, here's why we can't help you. So that's what I would identify if I had to distill something out of it, was something short term, something that can happen quickly. And I know government doesn't work quickly. Healthcare doesn't work quickly. I'm asking for miracles, but somebody who could have stepped into the situation before the 3-week mark would have been incredibly valuable. Some provision that, honestly, we were undone by the fact that we were helping. She was from down south and we'd brought her up here. We couldn't care for her down there. I have my job up here. We had lives we had to attend to on top of her own. So the fact that we'd brought her up here, save her though it might have, also stopped us for that period of time from doing anything meaningful. It was bringing her home that finally actually made anything tangible possible. So I understand why we kind of spiked our own wheels in that way, but it was the only option available to anybody who would look at it, I believe, with a reasonable mindset.
Sure.
So it's too easy for incredibly difficult situations to happen with the current healthcare landscape. That's, if I had to make a thesis, there it is.
I don't disagree with you. I'm curious, through this experience, what have you learned about yourself?
You know, I'd gone through my own problems back in the day. Nothing even holds a candle to what she and other people are going through, but I thought I had been through rough stuff. You know, everybody goes through their thing and thinks that this is probably the worst thing I'll ever go through. And to find out that in fact there is worse out there. So I guess through that I found that I've got a pretty sunny disposition because I find myself in a pretty decent state, all things considered. Before all this, I would have said that, man, I don't know how I'd handle things worse than what I've seen before, but
you did it.
I don't know. I at least haven't tipped over yet. Yeah. We got it across the goal line. So, if nothing else, we're improved.
You did it. I am super proud of you and I don't even know you. And I wish I could give you a big hug for everything that you've gone and have going to go through. You know, I know you're not over yet. Right. So, best of luck to you. You are in my thoughts and prayers, and thank you so much for sharing your story tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity and your time.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief saying it's the right thing for him to do. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie drops out of the GOP presidential race, but promises,
I'm going to make sure that in no way
do I enable Donald Trump to ever be president of the United States again?
One person has died in an avalanche at the Palisades Tahoe Ski Resort. CBS News Sacramento's Andrew Hobner reports.
These trails are popular with expert skiers and snowboarders due to the steep and rugged terrain. At least one other person was rescued with non-life-threatening injuries.
It happened as a major storm with snow and gusty winds moved through the region. Portions of the Northeast are recovering from severe storms that brought strong wind and heavy rain. This man lives in Rochelle Park, New Jersey, near Hackensack.
My yard's flooded because there's a storm drain that runs through the whole thing. And that, you know, I have probably about a good foot and a half of water against my fence line.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. States can apply for grants to build safe wildlife crossings. It would be helpful in Wisconsin, which is one of the leading states for vehicle crashes with animals. In the meantime, experts are urging drivers to be more careful.
If you're in an area where you know there's a lot of wildlife, the best thing and the most immediate step you can take to prevent wildlife vehicle collisions is to slow down.
Jeremy Romero is with the National Wildlife Federation. Yesterday was by far the snowiest day of the winter season, but Muscadet got the most snow of all at 12 inches, according to the National Weather Service. Plain, Benton, and Dodgeville in southwest Wisconsin were also in the double digits. Madison got 7.5 inches, while Green Bay got closer to 4. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers and flurries this evening, a cloudy sky overnight, and lows in the low 20s. Temps steady in the 20s for tomorrow, maybe some late day sun. Winter storm watches Friday for heavy snow, then much colder for the weekend. Highs struggling to get up above zero by Sunday, and windy with bitter wind chills. Currently it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
93.5 The Tap.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and my name is Liza Hallenbrand. Thank you so much, Gray, from Park Falls, for sharing your caregiving story. My next guest is Tammy Eastling. Tammy is part of the sales team at Civic Media. So if you are a business owner or know a business owner that could benefit from the exposure Civic Media has to offer, I would strongly recommend that you contact Tammy and let her know how Civic Media Radio can use the radio and social media platforms really to help you grow your business, hire employees, or let listeners know that you believe in Civic Media and their civic engagement cause. So as much as Tammy, I'm sure, would love to talk about advertising, I actually asked her here today to share her caregiving story. Like myself, she has a son with autism, so we've walked very similar paths, and she has great wisdom to share. I've talked to her on a couple different occasions about swapping autism stories. So, Tammy, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Hey, Liza, you forgot to tell them how to get a hold of me.
I know. I was going to ask you at the end because I asked you earlier and then I didn't write it down. So
920-290-4333. Call me for your local and statewide advertising needs. Let's go.
You got it.
Thank you for
that. Yeah. Or Tammy, T-A-M-M-I, at Civic dot. Media. Oh, you do dot Eastling?
Tammy dot Eastling, E-A-S-T-L-I-N-G at civicmedia.us.
U-S. And I will put
it's nice and short.
I will put it on my Facebook page. That's where I like to put all my notes after the show. If somebody wants to come back, Tammy would love to help you out. And I would love to have some commercial advertisers during my show, darn it. So let's do it.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
But
thanks
like,
for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Would you mind sharing a little bit about your caregiving journey?
So I had Jaden at the age of 40 as my, you know, I had three other children and I remarried. So it's my husband's and I only child together. So when Jaden was born, my oldest was moving out. He graduated. A couple years later, my other daughter moved out. So he kind of was raised as an only child, even though he's the youngest of four. And by the age of two, Jaden was not hitting those milestones, you know, that my other children had. And I think had I not had children prior, I would not have realized that. And along with a friend who also kind of pointed it out to me, hey, I think he has autism. And I'm like, yeah. So I went to my doctor, got directed to, and I have to say, Green Lake County is amazing. I got directed to birth to three. And that was wonderful. So the beginning was not hard at all. Where the struggle came in was when Jaden was turning three, he was graduating out of birth to three, and I had to get him into in-home therapy. Mm-hmm. So what that entailed was I had to get the diagnosis from, well, I went to Weissman Center in Madison. I contacted them. Now, mind you, when I find this all out, Jaden's like 6 months out from being three. And I asked them, can I get in to get the diagnosis? And like, oh, that's 6 months from now. I'm like, yeah, I don't have 6 months. So I'm a mama bear, as my kids call me. I was on him, and I got him in within a month and a half. Nice. So I'm like, great, now we can get in home therapy. No. Now you got to go through Social Security. Why? You tell me, right? So now I have to go through Social Security. Well, you know, government's not always the quickest to respond on these issues. So I actually went to their office numerous times and got that rolling. And meanwhile, birth to three was great. And they let me continue speech therapy and a couple other therapies with him at the hospital. So he wasn't completely without, you know. So it took a while for us to get through all the red tape and finally get him into therapy. And that was a godsend once he got in-home therapy. Oh. So now Jaden is going to be 17 this year. So this has been a long journey. I mean, there's so much I can tell. So you tell me what you want to hear.
Well, no, just so we all have some context here of your story and what you've been through. And, you know, you said that you had the other children that were older, but I always am curious, how does having a son with autism impact your relationship with your other children or perhaps other family members?
I think for my children, I'm Mama Bear. My kids take after me. So they're extremely protective of him. And they have a great relationship with him and are very, they were very helpful and supportive to me through it all. I mean, part of the what I didn't foresee of having a child at 40 and what the autism probably impacted a little bit more was that it took away from time that I didn't get to spend with my children as adults in the beginning. And, you know, there was, it was 36 hours in home therapy. It was a hour drive down to Madison once a week. It was an hour and 40 minute drive to Milwaukee once a week. It was, you know, constant. He was in all this really lot of therapy until eighth grade. So in that way, it kind of impacted not being able to do those things. Or my oldest daughter wanted me to go camping with her one time and I had to cancel because Jaden was having a meltdown. It wouldn't have been a good time for him to go, you know, things like that. I think we missed a lot of events because of it. Yeah. I don't regret it by any means. Don't get me wrong, but that would be, I think so. We have a large family. I'm from Illinois and there was a lot of family gatherings we didn't go to because of it, because we couldn't. Large crowds was overwhelming for him, you know.
I was going to ask if it was more of like a stimulation thing on his end, or did you just at some point start to feel like a black sheep? Because there's a side of my family where I feel like a black sheep. Like they don't understand. They don't want to understand. You just get a weird look. So, but for you, it's more, it was just too much. It was too much for him to be able to handle at that time.
I have to say, between our children, my older children, our parents, all of Jason's, my husband's siblings, my siblings, all of our relatives, our families are amazing and extremely supportive and loving. And we've never had that issue been black sheeped. If anything, they've embraced them more. So I'm sorry that you went through that. And I'm very grateful that we did not.
Yeah. Yeah. That is great support. Nothing wrong with support, right? And a supportive family can just make life so much easier. So we talked a little bit about the family, but you were saying that you did all our, you know, he did the 30 some hours of therapy and going to Madison and going to Milwaukee. Did you work during this?
So my husband, bless his heart, was working like 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And was the main income. So at that time, I'm doing things like catering weddings, mowing people's lawns, painting houses, waitressing part-time, you know?
Yeah,
been
there, done that.
It's kind of flexible stuff until Jaden was, let me see, 13. So I guess he must have been 4 because I've been radio going on 13 years now. So the first company I worked for, Hometown Broadcasting, I started out part-time and I explained to him, hey, my son will always come first. I have lots of therapy. There's going to be times I'm going to have to take off. And they were very understanding about it. So I'm very blessed in that manner.
That's good, because I know that's, you know, one of the things that we talked about when we talked about, you know, some of the struggles and what could have helped. And it sounds like work flexibility is key. And
I'm sorry, go
ahead. No, you go ahead.
I mean, as long with work, I guess one of the issues that I did have was trying to find daycare. I mean, we're already having issues with the shortage of daycare in Wisconsin, but trying to find daycare for someone who will accept and work with and understand and know what to do with the child on the spectrum. And now, mind you, this is 15 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, even now, it's still a struggle, I imagine, for people. I mean, I was blessed in a lot of ways where things fell in place for me. But I did fight through a lot of red tape and I worked very hard at it. I didn't just sit back. It was a job to make sure that I did everything I needed to for my child and got all the services and whatever I needed to make him successful. But it was a lot of work.
It is.
So yeah, I think that's a huge struggle.
It is a full-time job. It really is. In the early days of autism, it is a full-time job. Help me come up with our list here. What are we? I felt like researcher, right? How much time did you spend researching the different therapies, the different programs, the different laws,
the different companies,
right? So we're
what to put into therapy,
right? So we're researchers. What else are we, Tammy?
Teachers. because, you know, the in-home therapists come in and we had a great team. So they were wonderful. But, you know, once they leave, we still have to continue teaching those things and carrying on with those things. Like, I mean, let's go to potty training at the age of four. I've still got marks up and down my arms, you know. I mean, they're here for a period of time, 36 hours a week, but then we continue on with those lessons in order for it to be instilled in them, right?
Right. Yes. So teacher, I remember my stint as a nutritionalist, you know, as as you're
Jaden
trying to think,
only eat three foods. Yep.
How do you heal the body? And, you know, my son also did the speech therapy, the occupational therapy. We did vision therapy. So you could probably add therapy assistant to that. Right. You know, the list really goes on and on. And of course, advocate. So I guess my question for you is, how do you think this has changed you, this experience? I mean, because you wear 12 different hats a day. You know, you've become an expert in so many different things.
Well, first off, I want to say I wouldn't have him any other way. The kid is amazing. So proud of him. Mm-hmm. Love him. And I'm going to cry.
Oh, happy tears.
He has taught me so much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're right.
So like, for instance, the way I've changed is my outlook on life. You know, like the little things that used to bother me. I think about how he goes out into the world every single day with these struggles. And he comes home with a smile. Like, really, I'm going to be upset because the guy in front of me is doing 20. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I guess that's probably that. I've got a lot more patience than I used to with my other kids. Sorry, older children.
I know, right? There's so many I sorries that I owe my poor eldest daughter. Oops, didn't know. Sorry. Yeah. But you're right. I feel the same way. My son has given me and taught me more about life than I think the other way around. You know, so
absolutely.
So that's where I always get a little, I don't know, crunchy.
Emotional,
right? Emotional. Well, I said crunchy, but only because you know, I'm saying over and over, caregiving is hard. You know, caregiving costs a lot of money. Caregiving can be physically demanding, look at us, emotionally draining. You know, it has so many hard components. And so I want people to be aware and understand and make changes to accommodate that. But it doesn't change the fact that most of us would do it all over again.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there should be more. I would love if there had been more support groups. As a matter of fact, Green Lake County has been amazing. Once I went through all the red tape to get him into these therapies, they referred new people to me because I was such a fighter for our child. And I wish that I had had that for myself because, you know, in the beginning, you go through the stages of blaming yourself. Is it because I had a child at 40? And then why did it happen? And then you realize, who cares? None of that matters. What are we doing moving forward? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I was going to ask you, what would a support group look like? What would you be hoping to get from it? And I think from the get-go, you're right. The blame part, you know, I remember going through that. Is it because I drank Diet Coke? Is it because I did this? So we should do more to offer that support right out of the gate, because that is an extremely difficult time when you are given that news, and it is a lot to process. It impacts your whole life, your child's whole life, your family's whole life. You know, so to give the diagnosis and say best of luck to you just doesn't seem right.
It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely. I hear you, sister. Well, when we come back, I want to ask Tammy a little bit more about her caregiving journey, and walk in the walk and being the autism mom like so many of us out there are. Thank you so much, Tammy.
This is 93.5 The Tap. There's something magical about unboxing. When you unbox BritBox, you uncover a world of British entertainment. Stream the UK's most brilliant series, including new and upcoming seasons of Shetland, Father Brown, and Death in Paradise. Plus new originals like Payback, Irvin Welsh's Crime, and Archie, the story of Hollywood's greatest leading man, Cary Grant. Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV. Stream with a free trial at BritBox.com.
Okay, everyone, gather around. It's time for corny jokes about passing the torch.
The team at Kyrian's Welding was fused together solid.
Thanks for all the late nights and early shifts.
But double retirements mean the crew must bond with some certified new hires.
You've both gone the extra millimeter.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I'm talking with Tammy Easling, one of our fine members from the Civic Media sales team. And if you are interested in advertising on the show, or across Civic Media, you can reach Tammy at Tammy, T-A-M-M-I, dot Eastling, E-A-S-T-L-I-N-G, at civicmedia.us, or Tammy, you know your phone number. I don't know if your phone number.
You just hit Tammy, right?
Yes.
It's 920-290-4333. That's 920-290-4333. You'd think it'd be easy, but people get confused by that.
You know what? You want to hear a confusing telephone story. So I've had the same cell phone number for like 20 years, and I'm one digit off from the electrical union.
Oh, jeez.
And you wouldn't have any idea how many like dyslexic electricians there are out there, because I get a call about once a week, and a few times I've just had conversations with people.
How can I help you?
I'm just weird like that. No, we just talk That's about funny. The fact that, you know, this is who, you know, I give them the phone number. I tell them you're one digit off, and they say, oh, does this happen often? Yes, as a matter of fact, it does.
Nope,
but
you're the first.
Yeah, right.
Today.
yes, you wouldn't know. But you know what? A woman called me the other day, so I was happy to see a woman electrician. Yay. But anyways, awesome. Yes, I didn't ask you on here to talk advertising, but I do want people to be able to help Civic Media out, help you out, help me out. So
help
them out.
You have an amazing network, and your show is incredible because it really speaks to a unique group, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. What kind of salesperson would I make, Tammy? Yeah. I'm wondering if you could help me out. No, let me help you. Which
here's Liza. Show me the money.
yes, but no, we can. We touch a lot of people, and we have loyal listeners. So this is absolutely a wonderful place to advertise. But I digress. What I want to talk to you about is your autism journey with your son, who is now 17.
He will be 17 in May.
Oh,
wow. I feel like I just gave birth.
Doesn't it go?
How is it? I had him at 40. He's going to be 17, and I'm only 41.
Yeah, right. That you do math like I do math, it sounds like. Really? Yeah. You know, so I have to ask, according to the CDC, the number of caregivers has increased from 43.5 million in 2015 to about 53 million in 2020. So again, I'm not your math person, but we're looking 10 million people in 5 years needed care. And with the baby boomers coming of it, you know, getting older, All of the different disabilities, like I said, people are living in their communities these days. You know, at one time they were kind of institutionalized or unfortunately, you know, sent away, and we don't believe in that. And I'm grateful. But that falls then on someone. Right. So
Definitely.
Yeah. So we're just talking about millions and millions of caregivers that are trying to care for other people every day and live their lives and do their jobs and care for other kids and the list
pay the bills.
And pay the bills. And the list goes on and on. So I'm just curious, you know, as a society, what do you think we could do to better support family caregivers, you know, on a governmental level, on a work level, what have you?
Well, I mean, first off, don't make it so difficult to get the services that we need. Like, I went through so much red tape, and I'm grateful that I had a supportive husband and family and friends that I was able to fight the fight for my child. But why should we have to fight the fight for the things that they need to become, you know,
right.
I mean, to become the best version of themselves they can. Like, that's so wrong. Why do they make it so difficult? Well, I'm not asking for a handout. I'm asking for the services for my son so that he could grow up and be on his own one day, because we're not going to be around forever. I worry about what's going to happen when we're gone. I want him to be able to be self-sufficient. And you're making me fight and go like through hell, just pardon me, through a lot just to get those services, you know?
Right.
For one.
No, I totally agree with you. And when my son was diagnosed, ABA therapy was not covered by insurance. Autism was considered a pre-existing condition. So anything that they could latch to autism, they didn't cover. And I thought, well, how dumb is that? Because you're going to pay, right? You're going to either... You pay for this therapy and you help the child develop and become independent, right. Or you don't. And then
or supporting the rest of their lives.
And then the government's going to be supporting them for the rest of their lives because they don't have the ability to live an independent life. So it is way cheaper to do things. And not that cost should be an issue, right? We should be thinking about the child. And, you know, it is what's in the best interest of our kids. Give them the support and everything they need up front so that they can become more independent.
And early intervention is huge. I cannot express that enough. As soon as you see signs, the sooner you get them into therapy, the better. And I'll tell you what, there was things that I wish that people, well, I did have some people tell me later on, and I tell everybody that I know that has a child that's just starting therapies that they should incorporate as anger management, because Jaden's 5'10" and about 220, I could imagine, maybe a little bit more. He's a lot bigger than me. And I taught, he used to beat me up when he was 4 and little, but not anymore. And flexibility, because the world is not the same. She told me a story about a child whose parents needed new windows and they had to get the exact same windows. And I'm like, well, that ain't going to work. So putting flexibility into their schedules and things like that. There's so many little things like that, that I wish that I'd learned sooner, you know?
Right. Right.
I mean, I did learn it as he got a little bit older. Don't get me wrong, when I got a new therapist, but had I learned it when he was little and started implementing that, it would have made a lot of things easier in those early years.
Early intervention, I think, is definitely key. And, you know, for us, we made our first call to birth to three at 12 months when he wasn't, meeting the milestones. And then we kind of hung out until 18 months. And then at 18 months, we were like, no, he's made no gains in 6 months and we're wasting time. So we enrolled him in birth to three, and the birth to three counselor came out a few times. It is like, you have something really wrong here. So anyways, thank you so much, Tammy, for sharing your story and for helping others. And I want to give a big thanks out to Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance for sponsoring our show. Go to their website to learn more, wisconsincaregiver.org.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wish Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at wiscaregiverscdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.